Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy. Well, early on in our family's years in ministry, it was filled with a lot of hurt, a lot of disappointment, a few broken relationships. There were some accusations. At times, my wife and I felt taken advantage of, and it just seemed like there was one thing after another. And this season came to a close, and I began working with a different organization, which was just outside of Calgary, and we were still in Calgary, so I had a 45-minute commute every day. And for the first couple months of the commute, I remember I would turn on worship music, and I would begin to cry, and I would pour out my heart to the Lord and complain a lot, to be honest. Now, I know it sounds holy and spiritual to, put worship music on for 45 minutes and cry out to the Lord and pray, but this time really, if I were to be honest, wasn't that holy. It wasn't that spiritual. It was a lot of feeling sorry for myself. I felt hurt. I felt rejected. I felt disappointed. I felt misunderstood. And this one day, I remember I'm driving on Stony Trail in South Calgary, and I get to the bridge that crosses over McLeod Trail. And at that time, McLeod Trail, or that bridge there on Stony, was like the furthest south you could go. There wasn't much more south. But I looked into Calgary. And when I looked over to Calgary, I began to cry. And the feelings of disappointment and hurt and rejection began to rise to the top, and all I could do was cry. Has anyone felt emotions like this before? Has anyone felt feelings like this before? Yes, a couple of you, good. I'm not the only one. And as I look into Calgary, I'm crying. I got the worship music on, and I've got scenarios running through my mind of the hurts that I had walked through. And I remember the Lord saying to me, "Randall, I want you to forgive them. Randall, I want you to bless them." Now, at this point, I begin to ugly cry. And it was more of a weep than a little tear down the front of your face. And I was just so overwhelmed with the pain that I felt. To be honest with you, it felt good to sit in that self-pity. It felt good to sit in that pain, as weird as that sounds. I wanted to feel the pain because I felt like by me holding on to it, that somehow it was hurting the people who had hurt me. But I knew that as I continued to hold on to it, it would actually just be holding myself back from the freedom that God really wanted to give me. Have you ever experienced this before? I want to ask you a question this morning. God has extended the gift of forgiveness to you. Will you withhold the blessing from others? Look, every day I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness from my wife, from my girls, from my coworkers. Why would I withhold it from others? Today I want to look at one of the shortest letters in the Bible, the book of Philemon, or the letter of Philemon, just 25 verses. In fact, it only has 355 words in the letter. But I believe that it's one of Paul's most profound letters that he ever wrote. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to the book of Philemon? It's just after Titus and just before the book of Hebrews. At its core, Paul's letter to Philemon embodies forgiveness and reconciliation. To give you a picture of the occasion that Paul is writing, the Apostle Paul, he's sitting in prison in Rome, and he's penning this letter as he writes, obviously. And so Paul's in prison, and while he's in prison, he meets an individual named Onesimus. Say that 10 times really fast. Onesimus. No, just kidding. Don't bother saying it 10 times. All right. Paul quickly learns that Onesimus is a runaway slave and has stolen from his master Philemon. And now Onesimus is a fugitive. So slaves during this time, they were actually property of their master, and they were not cheap to own. But even though they were property, they actually had the ability to work for their freedom. And so they could work their way up in society. So Paul and Onesimus, they somehow meet, we're not exactly sure, but they build a relationship together while in prison. And through, I'm sure, many conversations, Onesimus becomes a believer in Christ. And so Paul now, as he's led Onesimus to the Lord, Paul realizes that there's gonna need to be some reconciliation that needs to take place here between Onesimus and Philemon. Now that he's a believer, he's got to make things right with his past situation. And so Paul writes a letter from Rome to Philemon, who is in Colossae, and who gets to bring this letter? None other than Onesimus. Onesimus is the carrier of the letter. And so Paul's like, look, Onesimus, you're going to take this letter to Philemon, and now it is your responsibility as a believer in Jesus to reconcile this broken relationship with Philemon. Your life is different now. You're a follower of Jesus. You've received the forgiveness of God, of Jesus, and now it is time to go back and make things right. Now, at this point, Philemon is actually legally entitled to severely punish his slave Onesimus, or even he's legally even allowed to execute Onesimus. Now, I think because we find this letter in the Bible, it's made its way into the written word of God, I think we can correctly assume that they did reconcile their relationship. And Onesimus did bring the letter to Philemon. Otherwise, I highly doubt we would have ever seen this letter again. Philemon extended forgiveness to Onesimus. So, I want to take a look at three of the 25 verses that are in this letter. And I want to look at verses 15 through 17. So, find verse 15, and Paul writes this. For this perhaps is why he has parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. Now, Paul suggests right off the hop that possibly, maybe this is the sovereignty of God, that Onesimus has run away from his slave and he's met Paul in prison somehow, and Paul leads him to Jesus, and that Onesimus can now go back and reconcile things with Philemon. Paul is saying to Philemon, look, this could potentially be the sovereignty of God at work. And then in verse 16, Paul goes on, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul doesn't go, hey, look, Philemon, you know this slavery thing, probably not the best thing. Maybe you should just let Onesimus go free. No, Paul writes a letter to Philemon and says, look, I want you to accept your slave back. However, I want you to do this no longer as a slave, but accept him back as a beloved brother. Now, how would you treat a beloved brother? Well, there's this picture that comes to mind in Paul's letter that it would bring back memories of a story that Jesus taught, the parable of the prodigal son. There's this son who works on his father's farm, and he doesn't really like his father that much, and he wants his inheritance early so that he can run off and spend it. In fact, this whole idea of wanting your inheritance early would probably mean that you would want your father dead, so that you can get your inheritance, right? So he wants his inheritance so much that he wants his father dead. However, he goes to his father and asks for his inheritance. His father gives him the inheritance. He runs off, spends it all, and he comes to his end. And when he comes to his end, he says, look, I'm better off going to work for my father as a slave just so I can eat. And so he goes back to his father, and his father is standing there with open arms, ready to throw him a party. And Paul is saying this to Philemon. He's saying, look, Onesimus was your slave. He stole from you. He probably damaged your property. Things between you aren't the greatest at all. You're in a difficult spot, I understand that. But look, I want you to accept him back, no longer as your slave, but as a beloved brother. Go into your wine cellar, find the most expensive bottle of wine, pull it out, pop the cork, pour a bunch of glasses, and throw a party for Onesimus, who was your slave, but is now a beloved brother. Gather the church that meets in your house. Decorate your house up. Get out, go to the store, find the best, juiciest, biggest steak, and throw a massive party for your slave, who is no longer your slave, but is a beloved brother. God has extended the gift of forgiveness to you. Will you withhold the blessing from others? So often when someone hurts us, we immediately want to cut off relationship with them. We want nothing to do from them. Hey, you hurt me. You said some mean things about me. You posted on Facebook that you don't like me anymore. Whatever it is, however they hurt you, we cut relationship off with them. God is calling us to accept people back and walk in a right relationship with them again. Forgive them. God is calling us to be reconciled to one another. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20, Paul actually says this again. He says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul continues on in verse 17 and he says this, so if you consider me your partner, what he's referring to is, if you consider, Paul talking to Philemon, if you consider me your partner in the gospel, to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus to all nations, if you consider me this partner, which he most definitely is, receive him as you would receive me. Becky and I, we have some mentors who live in the United States, and they're great friends, they're mentors of ours, and about once or twice a year, they come up to Canada, and we get to spend time with them, and we love it. They love our kids love them. It's just a great time. But every time they come, we want to throw them I wouldn't say a party, but we take out our best food and we serve it to them. We take out our best plates and we welcome them, we greet them with hospitality. And Paul is saying, look, Philemon, if you consider me a partner in the gospel, I want you to receive this runaway slave, this one who stole from you, this one who has cost you a lot of money, I want you to receive him as you would receive me. Now, at this point, Philemon's probably thinking, look, Paul, are you absolutely insane? He has, first of all, I own Onesimus. I bought him. Secondly, he has stolen from me. Third, he's damaged my house, and now he's gone. I have no idea where he is. Many of us will say something like this, I am not forgiving them at all. They've gossiped about me. They've ran my name through the mud. They've taken advantage of me. They've destroyed my reputation. They were my business partner. They stole all my money. Forget it. Rob Reamer says this, it is utterly absurd for us to hold someone in our debt in light of the remarkable forgiveness that God has offered us. Okay, Randall, sure, fine, forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, Thomas Watson, an English Puritan preacher, defined forgiveness like this. He said, resisting revenge, not returning evil for evil, wishing them well, grieving at their calamities, praying for their welfare, seeking reconciliation so far as it depends on you, and coming to their aid in distress. We know that we have forgiven someone when we can do these things. It's a process. It takes time. How many of us want to come to the aid of those who have hurt us? Rob Reamer continues and says, he says this, forgiveness is a choice to release the person from your debt. Resolve not to nurse a grudge or rehearse the offense. How many times do I rehearse the offense over and over and over and over in my head? They did this to me. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they made that remark. As I was preparing this week, I was like, why do we struggle? Why do we struggle with forgiveness? Why is it so hard? And I think why it's so difficult for us is because that when someone wrongs us, when someone hurts us, we we want to hold on to that hurt and that pain, because if we do, we feel like it will actually bring justice to the situation somehow. We hold on to the offense. However, the justice that we desire is always, almost always, human. It's inadequate and wrong. Our justice is revenge-filled. It comes with a motive to hurt others. And ultimately, we want to hold on to the offense because we don't trust God will take care of it. It's a lack of trust that God will take care of the justice that is needed, when in fact, he has already taken care of it in his son, Jesus. Okay, so you've told us about forgiveness, you told us what it is, but why? Why should I forgive? Well, according to Ephesians 4:32, God has forgiven us. Paul says this in Ephesians, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Look, God is at the center of restoration. God is actually the pioneer of forgiveness. He was the one who pioneered forgiveness. When we forgive others, we embody what Christ has done for us, or what Jesus has done for us. Jesus calls us to forgiveness. Luke writes in chapter 6, verse 37, "Forgive and you will be given." Sorry, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." When we forgive, we no longer live under the power of bitterness and unforgiveness, but under the healing touch of Jesus. This past fall, we talked a lot about being a resilient people, being a church who can withstand the tests of time. And undoubtedly, this year has been a test like no other. How can forgiveness bring resilience in our lives? I believe that it keeps us from growing bitter and allows us to have a healthy soul. When we hold unforgiveness, we give the enemy ground to plant seeds of bitterness, of resentment, of anger, and these seeds begin to grow and they start to destroy relationships. They start to give way to unhealthy attitudes and actions. Hebrews 12:15, the writer says this, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." I believe that forgiveness will bring resilience because forgiveness builds relationships that last. Now, not every relationship will make it through the waters of hurt or the sting of accusation. Still, when we choose to forgive, we give relationships a fighting chance. When someone has hurt us, the first thing we desire to do is cut off that relationship. But when we forgive, we give relationships a fighting chance. There are times when I need forgiveness from Becky or my daughters or my coworkers. It's not just us extending forgiveness, but we need to accept forgiveness as well. Tim Mackey says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all need forgiveness at some point. My question to you today again, God has extended the gift of forgiveness. Will you withhold that blessing from others? To who do you need to extend forgiveness today? I don't think we need to, my guess is we don't need to do a deep dive into ourselves and peel back all the layers of, oh, do I need to forgive this person? Do I need to forgive this person? My guess is that if there's someone you need to forgive, it's probably right at the forefront of your mind. I know that's usually how it works in my life. All right. So who do we need to forgive? A high school, a friend from high school, an individual that you grew up with who hurt you, a coworker, a family member, a sibling. Who do you need to forgive today? I want to share with you four quick steps of how we can walk in forgiveness. How can we take four steps to walk in forgiveness? First off, remember the grace and forgiveness that God has given you. If we're going to be able to forgive, we must remember that God in Christ, through his Son, that God in Christ has forgiven us. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Number two, choose to walk in forgiveness. Often we must move past our feelings and our desire not to extend forgiveness, but we must choose to extend grace to those who have hurt us. Forgiveness is a process, and it's often something that we need to do repeatedly, depending on what level of hurt and pain we have been caused. This week, as I was preparing, again, there were some things in my past that I kind of wanted that other person to feel the pain that I felt from them. And so again, I had to come to the Lord and choose to forgive them, choose to lay down that hurt that they had caused me. Third, and this is one of the most difficult ones, pray for them. That time when I was driving my car and the Lord said, Randall, I want you to bless them. That was one of the most difficult things I've ever chosen to do in that moment. But Jesus says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. And last, and probably one of the most important, call upon the Holy Spirit. Call upon the Holy Spirit when you are in the deepest pit because of the pain that others have caused you. Call upon the Holy Spirit and ask Him to empower you to forgive. We have all been given the Spirit of Christ that lives in us, and He will empower you. He will empower you to forgive those who have mistreated you. if you're in the room today or if you're watching online and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you have not received his forgiveness in your life, I would invite you to give your life to him today. Receive the forgiveness of Jesus. If you're watching online, make a comment in the comment section. We have there people who would love to pray with you, to talk with you. And if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus and want to give your life to him and receive his forgiveness and walk in reconciliation with others and be able, be empowered to forgive others, I would invite you to come and pray with one of our prayer team members after the service. We would love to talk with you and pray with you about becoming a follower of Jesus, accepting his love and forgiveness in your life today. So why don't we stand together and let's respond to the forgiveness that we have been given from Jesus.